They are silent for what seems a long time. Ava can hear her blood pulsing in her ears. I'm so sorry I didn't come. Jim sips his red wine, his expression inscrutable. How do you know I went? She swallows. In picturing their meeting, and it is pointless to pretend she hasn't pictured it, she's never quite imagined this coldness. She had known Jim would be angry, yes, but she had, in her mind, seen his anger fade quickly to forgiveness, even joy. I wasn't sure. More gently, he says, Of course I went, Ava. I waited for you. I waited there outside the library for hours. She holds his gaze until she can't any longer. I was afraid, suddenly. Oh, I'm so sorry, Jim. It was a terrible thing to do. From the corner of her eye, she sees him nod. She thinks, perhaps it was no worse than that first terrible thing. But I did that for the right reasons, Jim. I really believe that I was setting you free. She considers saying this aloud, but it's surely too late, too little. She blinks hard, takes a sip of punch to distract herself from the incessant thrumming of her heartbeat. She's never pictured him like this. Not only his manner, but his appearance. In her mind, he is either as he was in New York, casually bohemian in his jeans and loose shirt, his hair messy, unbrushed, or in Cambridge, layered in shirts and jumpers to keep out the Fenland chill. Some mornings, when she woke before him in his narrow bed in Clare, his skin would look so pale and cold it was almost blue. And she loved, too, the dark tracery of veins on his forearms, spanning down from his elbow to his wrist. I read about your exhibition, she says now with some effort. I'm so glad you found a way to set out on your own. Thanks. Jim sets down his wine glass. From his pocket, he takes a cigarette paper, a pouch of rolling tobacco, a small nugget of grass. It was easy, in the end. Easier than I thought it would be, anyway.